In Genesis 26:4, God told Abraham and Sarah that I will multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven, and I will give your offspring all these lands. And in your offspring, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So the stars remind us of all the children that God promised and the generations that would come from them. What about the map? Can anyone think about what that might remind us of from Abraham and Sarah's story? Any guesses? What do you use a map for? To find places? Yeah, absolutely. Amelia? Yeah, they had to travel a really long way. So the map reminds us of when God called them in Genesis 12:1, saying, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go into the land I will show you." What about there was a clock, the picture of a clock. What do clocks do? Yeah, Ethan? Yeah, they tell time. And so in Abraham and Sarah's story, one of the really key things is that God's timing, yeah. Were you going to say something different, Isaac? It's okay. No problem. So it's God's timing, but in Abraham and Sarah's story, God takes a really long time. It says in Genesis 12:4 that when Abraham was 75 years old, he set out for Haran. And then in Genesis 21:5, he was 100 years old when Isaac was born. So who's our math geniuses in the room? What's 100 take away 75? Yeah, Thomas? 100 take away 75? 25, yeah, 25 years. That's more than double some of your ages. That's a long time to wait to see a promise fulfilled. Okay, there was the laughing face as well. Can anyone think of what that might remind us? Yes. Exactly. Isaac means laughter. Well done, Isaac. So Isaac means laughter or to rejoice. And so when Abraham and when Sarah heard that they were going to have a child, Abraham, it says in Genesis 7:17, he laughed. And Sarah also laughed to herself as she thought, "I am worn out and my Lord is old. How now will I have the pleasure of a child?" And then when Isaac was born, they gave him the name Isaac, which means to laugh or to rejoice. And the sand, does anyone know what the sand might have symbolized? Similar to the stars. The stars is the clue for that one as well. Yep. Your descendant? Something about the descendants, is that what you said? Yeah. Definitely. Ethan, were you going to say something else? Yeah, they could have as many children as the dust in the sand. So if you've ever picked up a handful of sand, could you imagine trying to count how many grains of sand were in that one handful? It would take forever. So that's what God said about the sand. He said, "I will make your descendants as plentiful as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can count the dust of the earth, then your descendants could also be counted." So there's one last one. Sarah had a little badge on, and it said, "Hello, my name is..." What do you think that reminds us of in Sarah's story? Was she always called Sarah? Yeah, Ethan? No. Do you remember what she was before? It was very similar. Yeah? Sarah, yes. So both Abraham and Sarah had name changes. Abraham went from Abram to Abraham, and Sarah went from Sarai to Sarah. Well done. So, there's so much that we could unpack within the story of Abraham and Sarah. And we definitely don't have time to unpack it all today. But we are just going to take a few minutes to look at one element that I think is really key to the overall journey of their lives. And that is the idea of hope. Hope is defined as a feeling of expectation and a desire for a particular thing to happen. It might be a person or thing that helps to save someone, or grounds for believing that something good may happen. Abraham and Sarah's story begins with hope. God calls Abraham and makes a covenant with them. He said, "I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing." But the journey for them was not easy. And despite the hope they started with, their hope is often tested. When they arrive in the land that God promises to them, it was occupied by the Canaanites. And Abraham and Sarah are forced to leave that land because of a famine. They have to go to Egypt to find food. And while there, Abraham, to protect them both, he suggests that they pretend that they're not husband and wife, but that they're brother and sister, so that if another man wouldn't try and kill him to marry Sarah. So when Pharaoh notices Sarah's beauty, he decides he wants to have her as part of his household, and he takes her into his home. And in this moment, it was likely that Abraham and Sarah's hope felt really small. They weren't in the land that God had promised them, and God's promise that he'd made to them probably felt quite far away. But God remembers his promise. And Pharaoh's household is afflicted with plagues, which resulted in Sarah and in turn Abraham being freed to leave Egypt. But it seems one of the greatest struggles that Sarah had was that she had hope, that even in the hope she had for the promise that God had given them, her hope to be a mother, she still had not yet had children. At this point, she's older in age, and they had not had any children. The promise that God had given Abraham initially doesn't actually specifically mention Sarah. And so it seems that they lose hope that Sarah is the one to fulfill this promise, because she tries to make God's promise happen in her own actions, in her own strength. She convinces Abraham to have a child with her slave Hagar. In an attempt to fix and solve this problem of this unfulfilled promise that God had given them, Sarah was in a vulnerable place. And one of the things about hope is that it's a really vulnerable thing. Hope can be continuing to believe for something that we want an answer to continue praying a prayer that we've been praying for a while. It can make us really vulnerable. And in Sarah's vulnerability, she thought she could come up with a solution that would bypass the slowness that she was feeling God was doing in his action, and to speed up the process and provide Abraham an heir through Hagar. It's easy in these moments when we feel most vulnerable and when our hope feels almost gone to make decisions that are not in line with who God is and not in line with who we are. So the first thing is, hope is vulnerable. It requires us to acknowledge there's something that we want that we don't have. It requires us to acknowledge that there's an answer we're seeking or a direction that we're looking for that we don't yet have. And I think it's really important that we acknowledge that it's a vulnerable place to be, because that allows us the opportunity to guard our hearts. It allows us to prevent us falling into the trap that Sarah did, thinking that we can help God out, thinking that we know better than God, thinking that God isn't acting quickly enough or that he's even not listening anymore, or that he's forgotten his promise. In that place of hope, we are vulnerable. And when we're aware of that vulnerability, when we're aware of being in a season of vulnerability, it allows us to focus on God and who he is and who he says that we are, because that is where we'll find our security and our protection. For those of you who were part of Wednesday night, we were in the first part of Romans 8. And it was Jackie actually mentioned to us that for her, that was a really pivotal passage in finding her security and identity in who God says she is. And so if you haven't had a chance to read it yet, I would really encourage you, because I think it's going to be a multiple part. Certainly this coming week, we're still going to be in Romans 8, if not possibly the week after. So if you have some time over the next couple of weeks, I would really encourage you to spend some time reading Romans 8 to remind yourself of who God says that we are. And so we're in this season of Lent, and Lent comes from the period of time that Jesus spent in the wilderness for 40 days, which is found in Matthew chapter 4. And this was a huge time of vulnerability for Jesus. He had been fasting in the wilderness, not around anybody. He was on his own in the wilderness. And the first thing that the enemy does in that moment when he comes to Jesus is to question his identity. It says in Matthew 4, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. If you are the Son of God. It's so easy at times when we feel vulnerable to forget who we are. to forget that we are children of God, to forget that we are his sons and his daughters. Despite what we believe, the truth is we can have hope because of the love of our Heavenly Father. He loves us with a never-ending, never-failing, never-giving-up kind of love. And it's in him that we find our true identity. So when the difficult times come, when it feels vulnerable to keep hoping, we can trust in God our Father, just as Abraham and Sarah did, and just as we saw Jesus do in the desert. Hope is vulnerable, but hope is also resilient. Sarah and Abraham's story is one of resilience. In our modern world, it's easy to underestimate just how much of a journey they went on. It's estimated it was something like 2,000 miles that they had to travel from their homeland to the place that God promised them, and as well including Egypt in that journey. And most of that would have been on foot. They might have had a camel or a donkey, but it would have been a very long and slow and arduous journey. They had to have physical and mental resilience. And without the hope that they had and the promise God had given them, it would have been senseless. We all will experience moments where we have to endure and trust in the words and promises that God has given us. And it's here that hope becomes resilient and our faith learns endurance. We talked earlier about the fact that Sarah and Abraham had to wait over 25 years from when God first made his promise and made his covenant with them until they saw it fulfilled. And they faced many challenges in that time where they had to be resilient. Hope is a huge part of being resilient, because resilience without hope is just endurance. If they had no hope, they would have just been enduring the situations and the challenge they faced without hope for the future and the promise that God had given them. It would have been extremely difficult for Abraham and Sarah to continue. It would have been harder for them to wait for the promise that God had made them. But hope is resilient. They continued to trust in God despite their doubts, despite what was normal, despite what might have appeared to everyone else, despite everything, they held on to their hope, the hope they had in the God they loved and served. Again, when we look at the story of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, in verses 5 and 6, it says, "The devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'Again it is written, you shall not put your Lord God to the test.'" We see Jesus' resilience here. Jesus' resilience was built on the knowledge that he had of who his Father was and is. When he's been tempted, that's what allows him to face the temptation, to endure the wilderness. The enemy starts by questioning Jesus' identity. And then when that fails, he attempts to distract Jesus by questioning who God is. "If you are God's son, then." But Jesus, again, is resolute. He does not need to prove to the enemy who God is, because Jesus is fully aware of who God is. Jesus knows his identity is as the Son of God, and he knows the identity of his Father. Hope is vulnerable, hope is resilient, and hope is defiant. Hope realizes that something needs to change, that we're not happy with the way things are, that we want something more than how things have always been. Springtime always reminds me of hope and the defiance of hope. After the cold and the barrenness of winter, we start to see signs of spring and signs of change. Snowdrops appear and daffodils bloom, trees begin to bud, and we see lambs and calves appearing in the fields around us, and the days start to get longer. We see signs of hope that winter is coming to an end and spring is here. Abraham and Sarah could have resigned themselves to the fact that they were getting older, that they were in this winter season of life, but God wanted to give them new hope, defying what was expected. So with their defiant hope, Abraham and Sarah trusted God. They trusted God when he told them to leave the land they called home. They trusted him through Sarah being enslaved in Egypt. They trusted him even when it seemed impossible that they would have children, let alone become a great nation. Well, eventually they fully trusted him in that. Because when God first speaks to Abraham and makes a covenant, Like I said, he doesn't explicitly use Sarah's name in that covenant. And so perhaps that's why Abraham agreed to Sarah's plan for him to have a child with her handmaid Hagar. It seems in this moment that they both lose sight of the hope that they had. And I think it's important to not be too hard on them because they had waited so long and it's easy from a distance to judge other people. And because there's times where in our life God speaks to us and we do have to take action, but there's also times when God is asking us to wait. It seems that when we read the story that Abraham does consider Ishmael the child of promise. He seems to forget the miracles that God performed for Sarah and him in Egypt, which freed them both. And that those moments didn't teach him the importance of Sarah in this covenant. God informs him that Ishmael will have his own destiny, but the promise, the covenant he has made with him, will only come through Sarah. Therefore, God renames her and blesses her when announcing the birth of Isaac. In chapter 17 of Genesis, verse 15, it says, God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah, and I will bless her, and I will surely give her you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Sarai becomes Sarah, and it's only a one-letter change, so in some ways you might think that's quite a minimal change to her name. And both names are rooted in the same word for princess. But there's a subtle difference. Sarai is like the my Sarah, so Abraham's Sarah. But Sarah is the Abraham's princess, but Sarah is the princess of many, the princess of nations. She no longer belongs just to Abraham, but to the world and the future nation of Israel. And as we go back to Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, we see his defiant hope. He knows who he is, and he knows who God is, and he knows how to withstand the temptations put in front of him. Jesus turns to scripture. In verse 3 it says, and the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so in return, the devil answers, quoting scripture. He in turn says, it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike a foot against a stone. It's a crafty move here, mirroring what Jesus did by quoting scripture. But the truth is that Jesus knows who he is. He knows who God is. He knows he does not need to test or to prove what God can do. Jesus knows who he is, and he knows who God is, and that is what he is calling each of us to know him, to trust him, and to know God our Father. Hope is vulnerable, hope is resilient, and hope is defiant. Father, we thank you that you are the God of hope. That regardless of what is going on in the world around us, that you are full of hope and true to your word. So God, for each of us this morning, where there are situations that we have lost sight of that, God, I pray that you would restore our hope. Maybe where we need to ask for help or prayer from other people, God, would you give us the boldness to do that? And where we need to continue to endure, continue to pray, continue to keep walking with our eyes on you, Holy Spirit, would you just, with your grace and your goodness, remind us of your presence with us. Remind us that you're right there in all that we go through in each moment of our day. So, Father, we thank you for this time. God, I thank you for each person here. And I pray that that this morning, each of us would experience a restoration of hope. In Jesus' name.